It is the season of Lent, and for 40 days the church is called to walk with Jesus out into the desert and to examine ourselves and to repent. It is time for self-reflection, but not only individual self-reflection, but time for us to reflect upon our world. And so I have to talk to you this morning about something very difficult. I need to talk to you about what happened in New Zealand on Friday. We need to look at this. Yes, I'm sure that the man who murdered 50 Muslims in two different mosques in the city of Christchurch, I'm sure that he was crazy. Yes, I agree. But these kind of violent acts are happening too often in our world. Therefore, we need to not just write it off as a crazy man, but we need to look at what is it about our world that is causing these acts of radical violence, and how can we begin to look at these things and learn and perhaps begin to heal and even prevent them from happening again. So what do we know of this man, Brandon Taggart, who would go in and kill helpless human beings who are worshiping? We know that he traveled a lot. We know he was an isolated person. And we know that he wrote this manifesto, which I don't think I'll ever want to read, but it was very long and basically full of hatred and fear about anyone who differed from him, racially, religiously, in any way. And the need and the out of that fear, this belief that it was his job to fix or correct or annihilate. So I think we need to look at fear today. Now, I used to think that the opposite of faith was doubt, but I don't think that anymore. I think doubt is a natural and healthy part of faith. It's not easy, but it is part of faith. No, the antithesis of faith is fear, not doubt. Whereas faith is a trust in God, which causes us to open our heart to God, to let God be in control, to open our hearts to others and love others, and learn and change and grow. Faith causes us to be open. Whereas fear is the opposite. Fear causes us to withdraw, to shut ourselves off, to believe that somehow God may not be in control and it's up to us to fix or change. Fear causes us to isolate ourselves from others. It causes us to stop listening and make up our minds as if we don't have any more to learn. In the gospel for today, the Pharisees are again trying to get at Jesus, and they try to get at him in so many ways, but in this gospel, they try to get Jesus to be afraid. They say, "You better watch out. You better get out of here. Herod wants to kill you." Now, that is our ultimate fear, isn't it? That we will die, that someone will kill us, or that we'll be in terrible pain. That's the baseline of fear. And they're trying to say to Jesus, be afraid. You're going to be killed. Jesus responds, not at all afraid. He says, you tell that old fox I'm right here. And I'm casting out demons and I'm curing diseases. And I will get to Jerusalem, but it will be on God's time. And then Jesus says a kind of a poem. It's like an ode or a lament to Jerusalem. He says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that stones the prophets and rejects those who come to you. I wish I could gather you together like a hen gathers her chicks, her brood, under her wings, but you would have none of it. And so you are left with your house as it is. In the music room in our house, where our piano is, we have a painting of Jesus. He's sitting on top of a hill looking out over Jerusalem. How many of you have actually been to Jerusalem? It is one of the most beautiful, extraordinary places to encounter God, but it is also a place full of fear. No matter what your perspective is about the Israelis and the Palestinians, when you go there, there is so much fear and so much hatred and so much animosity and anxiety and stress and walls and no man's lands and who belongs to this and who belongs to that. Even the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, where Jesus' resurrection occurred, even the Christians have divided it into quarters and halves, and the Orthodox are over here and the Franciscans there. Oh, and don't mess with the Ethiopian Coptics who are on the roof. Jerusalem, I wish I could gather you all together, Jesus says. All of you, my children. Christ Church, New Zealand, I wish I could gather you all together. Streets of Jacksonville, I wish I could gather you all together. God loves all of us. I have no doubt about that. I also have no doubt that as Christians, we do not need to be afraid. It says in the psalm we read today, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom then should I be afraid? And St. Paul in the reading today says, you are citizens of heaven. You have a spot reserved for you in heaven. What is there to be afraid of? Even if we die, we don't have to be afraid. So of all the peoples of the world, we should be most able to listen and to love. What do you do to counteract fear? You face it. You do the thing that you're afraid of. That's what you do. Eleanor Roosevelt said you should do something that scares you every day. Our media wants us to be frightened of one another because when we're agitated, we watch it more. So I urge you instead, in our small way, to counteract the fear by finding someone different than you and listening to them. Don't just tell them what you think. Listen to what they think and learn. Even if you think they're crazy, you'll still probably learn something. If you're a Democrat, listen to a Republican. If you're a Republican, listen to a Democrat. If you're afraid of other races, go and talk to them. If you're afraid of people who are gay, go and talk to them. Whoever is different, whoever makes you uncomfortable, go and listen to them. That is our only hope for this world. Remember how Jesus learned about the faith of a pagan centurion. Remember how Jesus had the longest conversation with a Samaritan woman who had been married 5 times. Remember that he was not afraid to go and listen to people who were different, people who he had been told that he shouldn't even speak to, but he did. We don't have to be afraid. We can share this earth. We don't have to hold on to things so tightly. Fear is a result of a changing world, and we are in a period of great historic transition, and it is natural to be frightened. But we don't have to let fear have the last word. Sometimes when I'm feeling despairing about the world, I always think that God shows me something beautiful to bring back that hope, that spark. And yesterday, after reading all about New Zealand and wondering what we were going to do next, I went to the birthday party of a 5-year-old, little Alexis. I had to get there late, but towards the end of the party, everyone decided that Alexis was to open all of her presents. This was in Boone Park in Riverside, Avondale. So Alexis gathered with all of her little friends, and of course a little girl who was probably 3 started to unwrap one of the presents, because that's what you do when you're 3. And the little girl's mother said, "No, no, no, those are Alexis's birthday presents. You can't touch those." And the little girl looked sad and ashamed and all the complicated feelings we get when we touch something we're not supposed to touch. And Alexis said, "I have an idea. Why doesn't everybody unwrap my presents with me?" And I thought to myself, can she be serious? I've never known a 5-year-old to share their presents like that. But instead of being afraid or wanting to hold on to them herself, she invited all of the kids to unwrap her presents, and they did, all together. And it was like a little vision of the kingdom of heaven. Now, if a 5-year-old can do it, I think we can. Just learn how to do things a little bit differently. Let people in a little bit more. Learn from them. Grow. God has so much to teach us, but fear prevents us from hearing. And we don't have to be afraid. We're citizens of heaven. Amen.